Wilhelm Göring, second in command in the Third Reich. Verbose plutocrat, ruthless collector of public offices, president of the Prussian Council of State, commander-in-chief of the Air Force, master of the Reich forests and of the Reich hunt, president of the Reichstag, Reich Marshal of the Greater German Reich, defendant number one at the Nuremberg trials.
Er war ein Mensch, zweifellos, hat mich immer an Cesare Borgia erinnert. An diese Menschen in der Renaissance, die vielleicht ein brillantes Gehirn, aber absolut kein Gewissen hatten.
Er war doch sehr dick und hatte immer diese vielen schmückenden Orden. Und das belustigte einen natürlich, wenn man immer das Gefühl hatte, vielleicht wäre er auch gerne Schauspieler geworden.
Für uns war er eben das Familienoberhaupt, nicht wahr? Und wenn wir irgendwelche Sorgen hatten, konnten wir damit auch zu ihm kommen. Aber wie gesagt, wenn man das einmal so bildlich ausdrücken darf, wir sind eigentlich immer stramm gestanden vor ihm.
Für uns junge Leutnant war er also das Ideal schlechthin. Alter Yachtflieger, Polymeritträger aus dem Ersten Weltkrieg. Damals haben wir noch verehrt, es wurde dann schnell anders.
A look back at the life of an adventurer. Even his childhood was an adventure. He spent most of it in the castle of his Jewish godfather, Hermann von Eppenstein, the lover of Göring's mother. The son felt neglected. He fled onto the battlements of his castle in his own dream world. Göring hated school and often ran away. His mother commented, "Hermann will be either a great man or a great criminal." Prussian Cadet College was supposed to knock sense into the unruly boy. Surprisingly, here he changed into an ambitious cadet officer. The separation from his family seemed to be a relief to him. Proudly, he wore his first uniform. In 1911, he passed the junior officer's exam with top marks. Two years later, he passed his school final exams, received his commission, and became a lieutenant in an infantry regiment. The first footage of young Göring in search of new adventures. He thought he was more likely to find them in the air than on the ground. Shortly after the start of the war, he joined the Imperial Flying Corps, got his pilot's license, and flew combat for the first time in 1916. His courage and action earned him the command of a fighter squadron and the highest German order for special bravery. Pour le mérite. 4 months before the end of the First World War, he rose to the command of the Richthofen squadron. He was the successor of the most famous fighter pilot of his time. He was to live off this glory for a long time. The post-war era was a time of confusion. Göring was one of those soldiers who felt angry and betrayed and thought the Treaty of Versailles a disgrace. He desperately wanted to go on flying. As that wasn't possible in Germany, he went to Sweden, where he sold German parachutes and eked out a living doing the mail run and taking people for joyrides. One of these jobs took him to the estate of a Swedish aristocrat, a new adventure. He fell head over heels in love with the attractive Karin von Kantzow. The countess, 5 years his senior, was swept away by the charm of the dashing German aviator. In a fit of romance, she left her husband and child and followed her lover to Germany, where they married a year later. Protests against the Treaty of Versailles were mounting. Goering sought contact with like-minded people. At a meeting of the National Socialist German Workers' Party, he met Adolf Hitler.
Versailles ist im Aufbruch begriffen. Und wir sind vom Schicksal gesegnet.
Goering was impressed equally by the speech and by the speaker.
From the moment I saw and heard him, I was totally under his spell.
He joined the National Socialists and turned Hitler's run-down stormtroopers into a powerful private army. As chief of the SA, he donned the first of the uniforms he dreamt up himself. Instead of spending time with his friends in the party, he sought the company of discontented generals and other nationalistic groups. To smooth the way for Hitler, in 1923 he staged a putsch, which was aimed at toppling the government in Berlin, but which was crushed at the outset in Munich. Under fire from the Bavarian police, the rebels fled in all directions. Seriously wounded, Goering escaped to Austria with Karin. A warrant had been issued for his arrest. Pain forced him to a hospital in Innsbruck. He had surgery and was given morphine twice a day, the beginning of a lifelong entanglement. Hitler, in prison in Landsberg, asked Goering to go to Italy and make contact with Mussolini. The job suited the Goerings to a T. Their hotel on the Grand Canal, an atmosphere of elegance. The German owner sympathized with the Nazis. Goering sent grandiloquent dispatches to Rome. But Mussolini refused to see him. Hitler was not yet creditworthy enough for the Duce. A wasted year in Italy, in Germany he was forgotten. They returned to Sweden in the hope that Karin's parents would support them. In a tiny flat in Stockholm, Goering wrestled with his addiction. He couldn't afford his daily dose. He lost control, became violent, and finally was put into a mental hospital for the dangerously unstable. The doctor's analysis was shocking. Brutal and hysterical patient with a very weak character. Suicidal, depressive, egocentric, anti-Semite. Karin's parents tolerated their son-in-law only because of their daughter, seriously ill herself. In Germany, democracy was being given a trial run, even by its enemies on the left and the right. When Hindenburg became Reich president, it was time for Goering to return. After some initial hesitation, Hitler took him back into the party leadership. The highly decorated war hero came just in time to win over the high society of Berlin for Hitler. At last, he had a position of influence. Goering was drawn along in Hitler's wake. First, to membership of the Reichstag, and finally to its presidency. The Weimar Republic was dismantling itself. The enemy was within. Goering in power as a minister under Hitler, the dictator valued Goering as a cool, calculating henchman who kept his head in crises. He came to an agreement with the former Chancellor Papen. He won over the press mogul Hugenberg as an ally against the moribund Republic. But Göring had another more effective lever on power. As Prussian Minister of the Interior, he didn't mince words.
Wusste ich, dass ich das schwerste Amt übernehmen musste, denn hier liegt der Schlüssel zur gesamten Machtposition. Ich werde mit eisernem Besen auskehren und alle diejenigen, die ausschließlich wegen ihrer roten oder schwarzen Gesinnung und zur Unterdrückung aller nationalen Bestrebungen in Amt und Würden sitzen, hinausfegen.
Those were not hollow words. Göring used the Reichstag fire as an excuse for the merciless persecution of his political opponents.
Und wir hatten alle diese schwarzen Listen, und aufgrund dieser schwarzen Listen konnten dann auch schlagartig diese Leute verhaftet werden. Wir wurden nächtelang verhört, wie ich schon sagte, im Keller gesperrt, ohne Essen gelassen. Nicht? Und da wurde man mit dem Kopf an die Wand geschlagen. Solche Dinge gab es ständig. Ich habe am schlimmsten empfunden, dass ich überhaupt eingesperrt war. Als junger Mensch mit 17 Jahren, da ich nie daran gedacht hätte, ein Illegaler zu sein.
Violence for the founder of the Gestapo was patriotism.
Als die Revolution vor wenigen Monaten durch ganz Deutschland brauste, begann sie damit, dass sie das furchtbare System der Vergangenheit, das System des Parlamentarismus, des Pazifismus, vernichtete, zerstörte.
In the Prussian State Council, he abolished majority rule.
That anonymous concept which raised the cowardice of numbers to the rank of master.
The master was now a man who had camps built to hold dissidents, the concentration camps which soon aroused revulsion all over the world. Göring worked frantically at the expansion of his power. The establishment of an aviation ministry provided him with a new post, and German industry with a flood of new orders. At first, he used covert means to realize his dream of a German air force. His goal was an independent flying corps, modeled on the one in fascist Italy. Another instrument of power that Göring created for himself was a phone-tapping headquarters, which went by the innocuous name of Research Office.
Das war selbstverständlich, dass wir eigentlich auf sämtlichen Telefonleitungen von den auswärtigen Botschaften saßen, die ja damals alle von Ost nach West, von West nach Ost über Berlin liefen, sodass das technisch gar keine Schwierigkeit war. Wir also sämtliche Gespräche von den Botschaftern abhören konnten. Kein Mensch wusste, was wir eigentlich taten. Es war so ganz harmlos. Wir waren eben eine Außenstelle vom Reichsluftfahrtministerium.
And it was eavesdropping on the entire Reich. For example, on SA stormtrooper boss Röhm conspiring with his NCOs. Fearful of a putsch by Röhm, which never happened, Göring and Hitler plotted a massacre of the leadership of the SA. In his old cadet college, Göring had 43 alleged rebels shot, while Hitler tidied up amongst the party comrades in South Germany. The first mass murders in the Third Reich. They were just the prelude.
Reichsbürger ist nur der Staatsangehörige deutschen oder artverwandten Blutes, der durch sein Verhalten beweist, dass gewillt und geeignet ist, in Treue dem deutschen Volk und Reich zu dienen. Eheschließungen zwischen Juden und Staatsangehörigen deutschen oder artverwandten Blutes sind verboten.
To cheers from the party, the last trace of humanity died.
Aber hat betont, dass kein Antisemit, höchstens ein Asemit ist. Wollte also die Juden wohl aus dem Geschäfts- und Wirtschaftsleben ausschalten oder zurückdrängen, aber keineswegs also brutal gegen die Juden vorgehen.
He set out to rob them, systematically. In the end, he got authorization to go ahead with the Holocaust. SS leader Heydrich got a blank check from Göring for the systematic extermination of millions of Jews. An armchair assassin who just occasionally relented.
Er hat sehr viele Menschen bewahrt vor KZ und vor all diesen Dingen, das weiß man. Und vor allen Dingen war Gründgens derjenige, der diese Dinge sehr forciert hat und gekämpft hat. Um seine Kollegen, um seine Schauspieler, die irgendwie vielleicht eine jüdische Frau hatten und so weiter. Und da war eben natürlich Herr Göring sehr großzügig, das muss man sagen.
Ich glaube, es hat keinen Nazi-Führer gegeben, der nicht behaupten konnte, dass er dem oder dem jüdischen Freund geholfen hatte. Das war so gang und gäbe.
The world still closed its eyes. Many diplomats enjoyed the company of the urbane Göring. He used his passion for hunting as a chance to conduct secret talks in which he pursued his own goals. Unlike Hitler, Göring dreamt of a German economic empire which would extend, above all, down to southeastern Europe. The first step, Anschluss, union with Austria. Göring pressed ahead where Hitler held back. Hitler's triumphant march into his homeland was the result of Göring's coldly calculated tactic of coercion. But Göring thought Hitler's next plan, the seizure of the Sudetenland, too risky. In secret talks with the West, he tried to reduce the risk. To British Ambassador Henderson, he promised the four best German stags if Great Britain caused no trouble during the Sudetenland crisis. He wanted peace because he had too much to lose. But Hitler's auxiliary troops in the Sudetenland were mobilized. Göring pulled out all the stops. He cunningly involved his Italian Axis partner, asking him to mediate. But drew up the agreement himself, which Mussolini then presented at the Munich conference as his own proposal. While Göring's influence seemed on the surface to be at its peak, it was obvious behind the scenes that he'd lost his direct link to Hitler. The dictator favored aggressive expansion, his henchmen, coercion at the negotiating table. Hitler wanted action, Göring transaction. His delight at the peaceful solution to the crisis was not shared by Hitler. Ribbentrop was appointed foreign minister. He shared Hitler's views on war and tried to check Göring's influence. And so the second most powerful man in the Reich happened to be at a health resort in Sanremo when German troops marched into Prague. He was torn between his loyalty to Hitler, who wanted war and war alone, and his own desire to enjoy peace. It was clear to Göring that he could only stay second in command to Hitler if he offered unconditional loyalty, although he knew that Poland was the next target on the list. But secretly, he tried to avert the impending conflict. He contacted the British government through a Swedish industrialist and considered flying to England himself. His research office kept him informed about negotiations between Poland and the Western powers.
Die ganzen Gespräche, es wurde alles mitgehört, wurde alles vorgetragen und dann wurden vielleicht auch falsche Schlüsse daraus gezogen, dass man immer wieder glaubte, England und Frankreich würden nicht eingreifen.
But this time they were prepared to invade, and Göring implored Hitler, "Let's stop playing this dangerous game." To which Hitler replied, "I've been a gambler all my life." With that, the points were switched for a descent into ruin. Behind the mask of Dear Uncle Göring, there hid an unscrupulous, power-hungry man who had more than fulfilled his mother's prophecy that he would become either a great man or a great criminal. He had become both.
Und wollen diesen Führer unsere Dankbarkeit und unsere Zuneigung dadurch kundgeben, dass wir jetzt seiner gedenken und rufen, unser heiß geliebter Führer, Sieg Heil! Sieg Heil! Sieg Heil! Und was hast du Schönes bekommen? Flieger! Na, wirst du auch ein Flieger werden? Was? Wenn du groß bist, was wirst du denn? Was wirst du? Ach, du bist ja mild.
For the man who doted on children, there was a surprise on the way. Emmy bore him a daughter, Edda. A joke of the time claimed that the letters of her name stood for everlasting debt to the dutiful adjutant. Since his wound during Hitler's putsch, Göring had thought he was sterile. Edda's godfather, another kindly uncle. Lovers of children and brothers in arms. Many years previously, Hitler had nominated his most devoted paladin as his successor, thus forcing Göring to adopt his mania for Lebensraum and follow him to war. With the Air Force, Göring secured his own power base. In the former chief of Lufthansa, Erhard Milch, he found an ambitious organizer. Other commanders were not so well suited.
Sie müssen ja sowieso sehen, dass fast die gesamte hohe Generalität der Luftwaffe keine fliegerischen Erfahrungen hatte. Da gab es die paar aus dem Ersten Weltkrieg, nicht wahr? Aber die saßen auf der Ebene der Divisionskommandeure, nicht wahr? Und hatten also auch nicht viel zu sagen. Und der ganze Stab, der ganze Luftwaffenstab war überwiegend mit Leuten besetzt, die also von der Jägerei schon gar keine Ahnung hatten, aber auch insgesamt wenig kaum fliegerische Erfahrung eben mitbrachten. Und da mit deren Gedanken ist die Luftwaffe seinerzeit aufgebaut worden.
Göring, the puppet master, engineered the intrigues that resulted in the dismissal of the commanders-in-chief of the Wehrmacht and the army. Göring calculated that he had a good chance of being appointed successor. But Hitler took the post himself and fobbed off his power-hungry vassal with the title of General Field Marshal. Göring now let himself be drawn into a war on two fronts, which really he had wanted to prevent. While his bombers attacked Poland, his brother-in-arms placated him with new proof of his favor.
Sollte mir in diesem Kampf nun etwas zustoßen, dann ist mein erster Nachfolger Bataillengenosse Göring.
But he confessed to a friend afterwards,
"It's dreadful. Hitler has gone mad."
And 2 days later,
"If we lose this war, heaven have mercy on us."
With numerical superiority of 20-1, Göring's new planes had it easy.
Als einst in Versailles dem deutschen Volk diese herrliche Waffe genommen wurde, verahnte man nicht, dass unter der Führung Adolf Hitlers diese Waffe neuer, stärker und mächtiger wieder entstehen würde. Nun stehen wir am Abschluss des ersten Geschehens dieses gewaltigen Kampfes. Und was die Luftwaffe in Polen versprochen hat, wird diese Luftwaffe in England und Frankreich halten.
Saber rattling in public, peace initiatives in secret. This time he made Roosevelt an offer. As Chancellor, he would withdraw from Poland and stop the persecution of the Jews. The American president reacted positively and guaranteed Germany its 1914 frontiers and the return of the colonies. But then the warrior lost his nerve. Instead of protesting against the war in the West, he fled into his dream world and had a monstrous command train built with a saloon car, its own infirmary, goods wagons to hold 8 cars, and a photographic lab. There was a permanent staff of 20. At the first tactical discussions, his lack of knowledge was obvious. He showed off with grand promises, although the Luftwaffe was nowhere near being equipped for such a campaign. At Dunkirk, Goering suffered his first defeat when an entire British corps escaped almost unscathed. The unintentional bombing of Rotterdam was the signal for a murderous air battle. But these failures were drowned out by raptures of joy at the victory over France. Goering praised Hitler as the greatest commander of all time and hoped secretly that his frenzy for attack had worn off. Goering set out for Paris. In an open Rolls-Royce, he cruised through the city, on the lookout for treasures of all kinds. The Bon Viveur went on a wild shopping spree. In the Louvre, a huge supply of masterpieces awaited the collector from Carinhal. Here were stored all the artworks of the Jews who'd been driven out of Paris, and Goering made sure he got first pickings. Velázquez, Cranach, Da Vinci or Cézanne, he helped himself to whatever he liked. In the end, he issued a directive which helped him get his hands on Jewish property from all over Europe. He had seen some interesting artworks in Brussels and Amsterdam, which he didn't want to escape his clutches. All in all, Goering amassed artworks to the value of several hundred million marks. He often had them sent home by train on a roundabout route. Carinhal became a museum. In the attic, delusion and reality blurred into a caricature. From all the occupied territories, trains rolled into Germany, full of stolen art treasures. And they drew the admiration of the painter from Braunau. He had found a new post for Goering. The Reich Marshal became the highest-ranking soldier in Germany. Air raids on Britain. Hitler's indecisiveness and Goering's reluctance led to a half-hearted operation which overtaxed Goering's pilots. London was not a target at first. But Churchill held out, no matter how many bomber squadrons Goering sent over the channel. The dream of dominance in the air shattered under fire from British defences. By October 1940, 1,700 planes had been lost. The Luftwaffe's glory faded, just like its commanders. The commanding officers could not agree on policy. Goering refused to set clear priorities. The head of fighter planes on the Channel, Galland, demanded more pursuit planes. Discussion of the various types got bogged down and ended in utter confusion. Even the boldest of sorties couldn't compensate for the superiority of the British planes. Discontent grew among the pilots.
als ich dann rauskam zur Front und die Schlacht von England über den Höhepunkt eigentlich weg war, da fing man an zu zweifeln, was ist denn los eigentlich mit unserer Führung. Aber wir haben es eigentlich nicht dem Göring angerechnet damals, sondern wir haben gesagt, dass die schlechte militärische Führung, die wir also haben, dass das also alles schiefgegangen ist. Denn die Schlacht von England war echt schiefgegangen.
Parade of the Scapegoats. Hitler had his sights on Göring, but he passed the blame on to Udet, his head of production. Field Marshal Milch was sent in as troubleshooter. He wasn't a pure Aryan, but as Göring needed him, the Reich Marshal declared, I decide who's a Jew. Flight from decisions into the fabled world of childhood. While the Wehrmacht was assembling for Operation Barbarossa, the head of the Luftwaffe was playing with baskets full of jewels, eating sweets by the kilo and taking refuge in sickness. As he couldn't prevent Barbarossa, he betrayed the date of the attack to the Western powers through a Swedish contact. When the attack began, he reluctantly boarded his special train and set up his headquarters an hour away from Hitler's Wolf's lair. Here, too, he took a huge number of tablets. In the downward spiral of addiction, grey reality turned into a rose-coloured illusion. But reality kept catching up with him. General Udet committed suicide. It had to be kept from the people. A few days later, there was another funeral. Udet's replacement, General Mulders, was killed in a plane crash. Göring appointed the 29-year-old Galland his successor as head of fighter plane production. Despite all Göring's protests to the contrary, the Allies were penetrating deeper into German airspace with 1,000-bomber raids on cities such as Cologne.
Wir Opfer der Bombenangriffe sahen in Göring den Mann, der einen großen Teil der Verantwortung für dieses Desaster trug, weil er vorher groß getönt hat, weil er nicht genügend vorbereitet hat, weil er sich überhaupt auf die Dinge eingelassen hat.
And even when town after town sank under rubble, Göring was still not prepared to deal with the truth. Hitler upbraided him over the air raids, so Göring tried to prove how effective the Luftwaffe still was. His bickering officers did nothing to restrain him. His general chief of staff, Jeschonek, who was suffering from depression, agreed that they could airlift supplies to the army cut off at Stalingrad. And so the complacent Reich Marshal sent hundreds of thousands of men into a deadly trap.
Für uns war typisch, dass wir eine Aufgabe kriegten, die kein Mensch schaffen konnte. Man kann nicht eine Armee aus der Luft versorgen.
280,000 soldiers waited in ice and snow for supplies, in vain. Too few planes flew too many missions. It was a hopeless undertaking.
Die erste Begegnung, die wir hatten, wo also die Truppe dann auch sagen, ja, der muss ja irgendwie verrückt geworden sein. Das konnten wir also an den Frontfluchtplätzen sagen. Das durften wir hinten schon nicht sagen. An den Frontfluchtplätzen wurde das gesagt, was auch war.
What was happening? Hundreds of thousands of German soldiers were being captured by the Soviets or were starving or freezing to death.
Nach Stalingrad war es so, dass von den obersten Luftwaffenchef wenig oder gar nichts mehr zu hören war. Und wenn das Gespräch so in Kameradenkreisen kam, sagte er, der Dicke soll bloß die Schnauze halten.
But he didn't.
Und jeder Deutsche, noch in 1000 Jahren, muss mit heiligen Schauern das Wort Stalingrad aussprechen und sich erinnern, dass dort Deutschland letzten Endes doch den Stempel zum Endsieg gesetzt hat.
Total loss of contact with reality. On the home front too.
Fing die Hoffnungslosigkeit ja auch an. So immer wieder Angriff und immer wieder Alarm, auch manchmal blinder Alarm. Aber wenn doch der blinde Alarm war, man hatte immer Angst und Herzklopfen. Nicht? Menschen sind furchtbar umgekommen.
Also da blieb einem wirklich nur noch Entsetzen.
The complete failure of the Luftwaffe made Hitler intervene himself. In his eyes, Göring had proved himself incompetent. A few pilots still entertained illusions.
Von da bin ich dann nicht mehr in Russland eingesetzt gewesen, sondern hier in der Reichsverteidigung. Aber auch da waren wir immer noch der Ansicht, die Fehler, die also gemacht worden sind, die muss man der Führung insgesamt anlassen, aber nicht dem Göring persönlich.
After D-Day, the German air defense collapsed entirely. The talk of miracle weapons proved to be a fairy tale, too. German officers made one last desperate attempt to end the madness. The coup against the dictator failed. The Reich Marshal was immediately on hand with the groveling suggestion that even the Wehrmacht should in future salute with the arm outstretched.
Da gab es ein geflügeltes Wort unter den Wehrmachtsangehörigen, auch übrigens unter der SS, nicht allen, aber vielen, die sagten, so steht die Scheiße in Deutschland.
The disempowered man of power sought comfort from his own division.
Und Göring ging an uns vorbei und grüßte mit dem Marschallstab und sagte immer dieselbe Formel: Wo ich vorbei bin, kann gerührt werden. Den Satz hatte ich noch nie gehört. Er kam anderthalb Meter an mir vorbei, ich sah in die Augen, ich dachte, was ist denn mit dem los? Völlig glasige Augen. Ich habe erst später erfahren, dass er Kokain-Morphiumsüchtig ist. Dann ging er in die Mitte des Karrees, hatte immer noch eine gewaltige Stimme, muss ich sagen. Und brüllte eine Rede heraus, die hat mich auch entsetzt. Die war auf dem untersten Niveau der Vulgarität. Der sagte, Verräter, Marodeure, Arschlöcher und so weiter, die haben den Zusammenbruch der Ostfront verschuldet und haben ein Attentat auf den Führer gemacht. Und jetzt aber ist Klarheit geschaffen und ihr werdet jetzt den Russen in den Arsch treten.
But the Russians got in first. Soon Russian bombers were appearing in the skies above Berlin, where there were few intact targets left. Where did the man responsible for all this misery find the courage to visit the suffering people? He had once bragged that he would change his name to so-and-so or eat his hat if an enemy bomber ever reached the Reich. He was now greeted with, "Hello, Mr. So-and-so. How's your hat?" Some people teased with a pun on a department store slogan, "A defeat in every city." The last attempts to force a change of fortune, the much acclaimed jet. It came too late and was used wrongly. Moreover, fuel was in short supply. The commander-in-chief was merely an onlooker at an unstoppable disaster. When the howling of rocket launchers, known as Stalin's organ pipes, announced the final offensive, the solicitor's family man had his wife and daughter taken to Bavaria and his treasures hidden in a mountain tunnel. Long before, he had deposited millions of marks in Switzerland. His Führer's birthday forced him to make one last visit to the bunker under the destroyed Reich Chancellery. Then he drove back to Karinhal, blew up his house, and set off for the Obersalzberg. Three days later, totally misjudging the situation, he made an attempt to grab the crown. In a telegram to Hitler, he suggested he become Hitler's successor.
"If I don't have a reply before 10 p.m., I shall act in the interests of the people and the fatherland according to your decree."
Hitler and his remaining vassals saw this as an ultimatum. Could the devoted paladin really want to overthrow him? He was immediately stripped of all his offices. SS men took him into protective custody at one of his castles. From here, he tried to make contact with General Eisenhower. In long and wordy letters, he made unwieldy offers of armistice and hoped for talks. Marshal to marshal. His letters went unanswered. Instead, Göring was ordered to go to a meeting with the American General Stack and politely but firmly arrested. His comment speaks volumes.
At least I've had 12 good years.
A few days later, GIs discovered Göring's art treasures. They couldn't believe their eyes. The moment of truth. The gallery sign for the robber's den. The second in command in the Third Reich, live. American journalists wanted to see that while other pictures were still in their heads. Claimed to have known nothing about any of that. Having shed some weight and his addiction, at the Nuremberg trials he acted the innocent victim of malevolent victors.
A master of deception. Very resourceful. Very vain. Exceedingly vain. And very proud of himself. Very self-confident.
Göring had one more opportunity to parade his excessive self-confidence. Much to the anger of the prosecutor, the court gave the floor to the filibusterer for 58 hours. A torture for the reporters, too.
Er versuchte noch den, sozusagen die Nummer eins, also den Reichsmarschall, auch gegenüber den anderen Angeklagten zu repräsentieren und dann diese feige das feige Leugnen jeder persönlichen Schuld für diese schlimmen Verbrechen, die in der Zeit begangen wurde, als er sich ja als die Nummer zwei hinter Hitler dünkte.
Bevor ich die Frage des Gerichtshofes beantworte, ob ich mich schuldig oder nicht schuldig bekenne.
No remorse, no regret, no understanding. Even now, the same senseless persistence. The judge's gavel forced him to be brief.
You must plead guilty or not guilty. Bekenne mich im Sinne der Anklage nicht schuldig.
Wie er im Zeugenstand war, hat er seine Rolle sehr wirksam gespielt. Als Akteur, wie er sich das vorgestellt hat, Akteur auf der Weltbühne.
Ich habe nie mein Einverständnis zum Ausdruck gebracht, dass ich eine Rasse über die andere als Herrenrasse bezeichnet, sondern die Verschiedenheiten der Rassen betont.
There was probably nothing in the Nazi doctrine that Göring didn't believe in. I think he said at one time that he was a faithful paladin of the Führer. And that meant believing in and espousing and following all of the principles that the Führer had decreed.
Der Gerichtshof sprach den Angeklagten Göring in allen vier Punkten der Anklageschrift schuldig und verurteilte ihn zum Tode durch den Strang.
After sentencing, he wrote three letters to his wife, to the prison chaplain, and to the Allied Control Council.
I would have let myself be shot without any further ado, but it is not possible to execute the German Reich Marshal by the rope. I choose instead the death of the great Hannibal.
Unlike the great Hannibal, Göring availed himself of a capsule of cyanide, which an American officer and hunting friend had procured for him.
Everyone has to die, but to die as a martyr makes one immortal. One day, you will lay our bones in marble coffins.